Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, and welcome to another episode of Discheads, an amateur disc golf podcast here based in the Midlands. It's so good to be back. This is episode 12, Park Life. That's right, a little bit of blur, a little bit of love. Yeah, we're at 12 already. It's impressive. I didn't think we'll make it past 10.
No, Richard came for 10.
Which you're doing again. Is this becoming a thing now?
Well, we don't have an intro.
We don't have an intro now. It's just kind of all
we
business.
Tries and then we just up.
So yeah, guys, welcome to another podcast. As you can tell, we've got a full cast again. Sitting opposite me is my good friend Ben. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, Jay.
I am great. I'm excited for this episode. I'm excited for our main topic as well. I'm loving this. I feel like this podcast is going to be very, very either controversial or it's going to be like very opinionated, which I'm really, really excited about.
We've found our feet, boys.
We have. We absolutely love it. And then the man, the myth, the legend, the man behind this podcast, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Yeah, good. Cheers. Lee, yourself?
I am good. And I'm not going to repeat myself because I just told Ben what I feel about this podcast. I'm super excited. So yeah. I'm going to hand it over to you, mate. What are we doing on this episode today?
So we're going to be talking about course layout. We're getting to what I mean by that when we talk about it. We're going to talk about disc shapes.
And it's already begun. I love it.
And we're also going to be talking about the most beneficial thing that you've done that has improved your game.
Yeah.
But firstly, new courses. So prepping for this week's cast, I did my usual, typed in disc golf news just in case anything exciting or interesting had popped up. And around the UK, there's actually been a couple of courses pop up. Hemel Hempstead and some place in Norwich that I've forgotten. But it's in Norwich. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And I just
Norwich
like the...
That far.
No. Hemel Hempstead ain't that far.
Yeah, but... But...
Yeah, they're all waiting for this but.
But...
No, it's not coming. I'm just leaving it at that.
I was going to say, you're going to let it linger?
Yeah, just leaving it. Think of that what you will.
Love that.
I want to know your history in Hemel Hempstead now. Now, what have you done there?
It's got a heavy rep.
Yeah, wow.
So two new courses you found?
Yeah, so that's two new courses. But there that's was sweet. Obviously, we know that in Bristol, the course we went and played tournament, they're expanding. They're having 9 more holes put in. So
oh, really?
What they put in temporary basket wise is going to be permanent.
Is that
going to
be the full course?
That's going to be a full course.
Fair. Wow, fair.
I mean, you've got the best opinion on that, but because we didn't actually see it.
I saw their other disc golf course in there.
I saw the major,
like, all in woods. Like, it was like a small one out in the middle of, like, the park. When I arrived at that park, this is just drifting hilariously off topic. It was like Jurassic Park. It was like I went to the car park and then immediately it was like
woods,
and then it was literally just land everywhere as well, so it just kept going and going. But then obviously when I met up with you guys and it was like
big.
It's like it felt like you were in the Jurassic Park compound, how massive the whole park was.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like beautiful. So I was like, oh, shame you didn't play, but also at the same time love to go back there again.
But it's like the fact that, you know, it's not just us that are enjoying it, and it's not just the people that we see online when we're on the Reddit forums or, you know, YouTube. And the rest of it.
It's getting bigger. Yeah, it's. I feel like we said ages ago, like it seems quite niche, but it's actually becoming a little bit less niche now, I feel.
I went to a little place in Loughborough. What's the hill called? Beacon Hill. And walking alongside that,
It's not in Loughborough, but it's the
close
area.
Enough.
Fair.
And if you're going around Beacon Hill, like around the outskirts, is like quite loose foresty.
Okay.
And you're like, you could definitely do a course in it.
Yeah, it'd be badass.
And I actually said to Leanne, like, I would love to have the job of going around to country parks and going, this is what you need to disc golf course.
I feel like you're a visionary, Dan. You, everywhere you go, you seem to go like, we could fit a course here. We could do a course there. You could do it like, there should be like a thing of like, goal, like obviously in the States there are people who design courses, like they do design courses and they make a living out of designing courses. You just seem to be that visionary who's like, this could be a really nice place for a course, like just casually just drop it in now and then.
I can't drive down if there's a traffic jam on the motorway. I'll see some cows in the field and I'm like, get out of that field.
I found something.
Okay. Is this a digression?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a disc.
Okay.
It's a 1-7-1-0
So it's
latitude disc.
So it's similar to the glitch, because the glitch is a 1-7.
That nice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Send me a link for that.
Send me a link. There we go. All right. Back on topic. We love we love it. Like, literally. This is
just
what happens.
For some history, Dan's been hunting for a
glitch.
Low speed, high glee.
Yeah, he's going for, effectively wanted a glitch, but there's nowhere that sells glitches.
Not in the
in
UK.
The UK,
and
at
I
least.
Just wanted to show him some latitude discs that have come on, and then I found one that
there you go.
I've not noticed before.
Yeah, so a few episodes back we also said, to hilariously digress what we're talking about, we all said we weren't going to really lean, try and keep an open bag, but we've all kind of lent towards one company now and we're all kind of like doing our own thing.
Interestingly,
it's
so
true though.
I was putting my discs up, so I've put on myself like a new display at home.
Okay, yeah, you did, yeah.
And the other day I was reorganizing and actually, after losing the diamond, I am.
You lost the diamond?
Oh, you did not know that as well.
Shh. Sorry. This is. We are really digressing. We've gone. I can definitely say over the last 2 weeks, we've all lost discs from our bags.
Yeah, I've not.
I've lost a
you
diamond.
Haven't, but no, Dan and me are on a bit of a losing spree right now.
I was the original disc loser.
Yeah.
And I've stopped losing discs, and you guys have just.
We've inherited it from
started.
You. Hanging out with
apart
you.
Apart from the one I threw in the water, which I knew was a danger, I hadn't actually. Lost a disc until this week.
We've
and in 7 days I lost two. A diamond. Yeah, lost a diamond at Sherwood.
That's sad. Oh, that's really sad. I did like the diamond. You were throwing that well as well. That's sad.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, back to what we're talking. What were you just quickly before we go? Because we were just.
They're also really low weight.
Oh, okay. Like.
So, like leopard weight.
Really, the ace. Yeah. Oh, that's dangerous.
How much?
Here we
14, 15
British pounds. I love this. If you get it now, it will be ready before our lovely little spree of videos that we'll be shooting, hopefully on Sunday.
Yeah, I know.
Because I tried to buy some discs, but unfortunately, they were out of stock.
Yeah, but I just don't know, because...
anyway, back on topic.
Anyway,
I love
anyway,
it.
Anyway.
Yeah, lots of disc golf courses popping up all over England and Britain.
That's really exciting, though, at the same time.
I'm excited to see more.
Yes, 100%. We love it.
So, disc shape.
Disc shape.
And the reason I picked this week is because both me and Ben own big discs.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Part of the Big Disc Club. We like to go out on a regular
big
basis.
Disc energy.
Big disc energy.
You own the Condor.
Yep.
I own the Zephyr.
And I love my Condor.
And I love my Zephyr.
at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment. but we compared them this week, didn't we? Like side by side. And if you don't know, these discs are
huge. They're like pizza.
Like dinner plates.
They are dinner plates, is the best way of describing it.
Big lids.
And I instantly presumed when I brought a Zephyr, because you bought a Condor ages ago, and I bought a Zephyr quite recently. And when I brought a Zephyr, even though it looked in the picture to be quite bulky,
it is.
I thought that it, when I actually got it in my hand, it'd be more like the Condor. And it just looked bulky because it was big.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it would be as light as the Condor.
Well, not so much as light as the Condor, because I knew which weight I was going for. But
yeah,
because
obviously
be,
I went light.
Yeah, but I thought it would still have, like, because you've got a rib on the bottom.
His got a bead, and yours doesn't.
Yours is just like...
A polecat. Effectively, his rim's more like a polecat. You could. Yeah, a cereal bowl, effectively.
Yeah.
It's like a giant polecat. When I looked at Dan's, like, how it is like a big polecat. Yeah. But I love it because I'm eventually going to get a big disc and we are going to film the hilarious deployment round, which I'm excited to play. Because you guys are having way too much fun doing that and I'm just like, I want to be a part of the club.
And put your polecat in it.
What, just double patty it?
Double patty it.
But obviously I'm not an engineer, and I can tell you what the difference is between ribbed discs and non-ribbed discs.
Ribbed for a pleasure.
Yeah.
Ribbed for your pleasure.
So the Banger, for example.
Right.
What a beast.
And it's got that like crevice in for your thumb.
Yeah.
Your thumb crevice.
Your thumb crevice.
I've decided what buzz I want, by the way.
America?
GT buzz. Yeah. It's got a thumb.
Nice.
Thumb slider.
Okay, cool, cool. Oh. Cool, cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
A banger buzz.
This is what happens. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, we start a topic and then we get distracted. I absolutely love it.
Thumb tracks.
I love it.
But yeah, so the thumb track, in my opinion, actually aids the banger to be a good putter.
100%.
I think it aids in the grip.
Yes.
I'm a fan. After this week, I'm a fan.
Oh yeah, you were draining from distance. Like, it was good.
But does it make any difference on the fly?
No.
So you could take a 10 Avenger, for example.
Right.
And then you can take a Speed and...
What?
The Construct.
Okay, yeah.
Very different shape discs.
Yes.
Very similar in flight paths.
Mm-hmm.
So is it all down to grip and comfort?
I think it is, because if you look at it from like... Because obviously we're amateurs. No. I think it is because obviously... You look at, right, so to this we're going to, hilarious, I'm going to bring up. So you have Polecat and the Maestro. They basically don't have a bead. They're pretty much like solid around the edge a little bit. So kind of like the Sensei, solid around the thing. You look at the GT, because we've all got a Banger GT.
Turn it up!
That was interesting.
Turn it up!
That's got a bead at the bottom, and when you hold that, you've got a little bit of like grip on it, and some people like having a bead at the bottom because you can put your fingers, get comfortable with it, and you feel like that. I don't mind that, but because I obviously have the Sensei, I don't mind having beaded, because a lot of my...
You can go either way.
Yeah, because my S-line plastic, or skidmark plastic as we like to call it, that has a tendency to have a lot of bead and not bead at the same time. So it's, I think it is down to personal preference.
If you look at your bigger discs,
your C-line plastic is a lot like the Discraft discs, though, in my
opinion. Oh, 100% it is.
The imprint on the inside, you know what I mean.
Yeah. If we look at our discs around Speed 6, 7.
They're all going to have a similar shape, though, because that's what the edge is, isn't
it? I've got like a 7 Glory, for example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's quite a thin UFO-shaped disc.
100%.
But my better, well, I say my better, I do like them both. They're both for different purposes. But a Sting, which is very flat, very much like the Archer.
Yeah.
And then you look at what the Buzz is as well. The Buzz is a bit of a chunky thing as well.
Yeah.
And yet, because all of them are different.
To the speeds, is it?
Yeah.
But you could buy. What I'm trying to say is, like, the Avenger is very similar to how the Buzz feels.
But it's a bit speedy, though.
But that. I think that also falls on disc make, because the discs you've just named, the Archer, the Avenger, and the Zombie,
all Discraft.
Oh yeah, of course. But the Avenger and the Construct have very similar flight numbers.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
But they're very different shaped discs. So this is what I'm saying. It must be
the flight numbers aren't.
I think
like a unified thing, are they? So
yeah.
Innova numbers aren't the same as Latitude.
Yeah, all companies. All companies have their number system, which we've all now just gone.
Which
numbers
supposed
don't
supposed
really
to be
mean
the same,
anything.
Yeah, which after covering on our cast, I decided I don't give a shit about numbers.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take numbers at all.
Don't care about numbers.
Like, because to be
Speed
honest,
is the only number.
What's the new thought space disc that you have? What's
construct.
The cut? The construct and the river feel similar, but yet when you've thrown it, you've thrown it exactly like the river, and it's gone hella further.
Yeah.
Like, that thing, it just flies. I think numbers do not mean anything.
That could be all kinds of
the
things,
river's
though.
Speed 7, construct speed 10.
Plastic.
Oh, it's construct. I thought they were around the same number. Sugar Honey Iced Tea. You bought a big boy disc then.
Yeah, because
holy
is where I'm ripping it.
Okay, and that's where your cap is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think I could push to 11.
Okay.
But when I'm pushing to 11, I'm feeling pain in my shoulder.
I don't think I can.
While
fair.
I'll play through the pain if I'm going to be world champion. But when I'm playing against you three arseholes, like...
You want to just cap off.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'd rather
fair.
Not go home and put an ice pack on me. Like,
fair.
I throw a speed 10 disc, but I don't throw it at speed 10, and I don't need to.
Because I'm feeling we've all got different caps. I'm speed 12, you're speed 10. What are you doing now, Nev?
Seven.
You're doing sevens. Rich is what? Rich is 13 or 14? Because obviously he's got the crank and the...
Is the crank?
I want to say this.
Crank's big, yeah.
Crank's, he's got big boy discs.
Mine highest is currently, I'd say probably 9.
Yeah. But the funniest thing is, it's like...
I'm looking at 8-9s at the weekend. That's what I'm looking at.
Nice. Well, due to disc loss, I need to change things until I repurchase discs because I need to have utility discs in my bag and I need to just go back to basics on certain things, which I did kind of last Sunday. So, but it's funny though, at the same time, it's kind of like this feels like we're going into the same topic. When you're looking at holes, you got to just, if you don't have that disc, you have to reassess things. But no,
it's a big topic though.
And losing the count. Right,
yeah,
it's gonna be mega.
It is, because
scrambling, rambling man over here has lost his.
He's lost his tool.
He's lost the tool.
It was my scrambling disc, but I was also bringing it out for little cheeky forehands.
Yeah,
and it's good for that. Love the count for that, and I've not got one.
Yeah,
and I feel like it's
every
gonna...
time I throw the count, it's for a cheeky little forehand. Mm. But I put the Toro in that.
Yeah, but that's very good though. I think the Toro is a very good disc. Yeah,
but yeah, again, the counts are very. I suppose because of the material it's made out of, it's a different shape every time you take it out of the bag.
Yeah, 100%.
That almost dips in.
Yeah.
But if I can get a second hand count, I'm getting one.
Ooh. Yeah. Sunday might be an expensive.
If I get
day,
a count for a fiver, I'm getting one.
Sunday. I love. Because we used to joke that the count was Skrillex, wasn't it?
Yes! Oh my god!
Yeah. And that's why I want it.
And that's why you want it, because that's what it was. Because at the beginning of our whole adventure into disc golf, as well as podcasting, we made the joke it was Skrillex and it's whatever. But now we've understood it. It's kind of like other discs have changed a bit.
This is because I was ripping it off because in the box it says this is your driver.
Big boy driver.
This is your big boy driver. So I'm ripping the count off and it's speed 7.
Okay.
So,
because you're using a count as a scrambling disc. I'm using my old Destroyer, which is a speed 12 for like a utility disc.
Because I've been throwing speed 7.
Yeah.
And I feel like because it's a different plastic to a lot of my, I've got different plastics at speed 7.
Yeah.
But that's a completely different plastic.
Yeah.
It's not something I have.
It's fun.
Like rubber, isn't it?
So, yeah. It's rubbery. But no, I think it honestly comes down to what we were talking about as well with discs in our bag. I think it's down to your personal preference because, like, my putters, the judge is beamed and heavy and I'd like using that sometimes, but then I always go back to the sensei because they're all different. They feel different. I think it's what you feel comfortable with.
I've got a lot of different putters and every single one is a different shape.
Yeah. That's 100% true. Yeah, looking at your putting collection. Yeah.
Don't really use the dagger very often.
No. But what? GT, Sensei. Sensei Premium.
Yeah.
Then you've got... I would class Toro as a putter, but you don't really use that as a putter as much. Then you've got the GT.
Longer range, I do.
So, yeah. You've got... Yeah, you're like... the best way to describe it, you've got tons of wedges in your bag more than...
My four main putters, the ones I bring out, are all different shapes. Yeah. You've got the banger. The Baron, which is... Obviously, a circle, but the edges are a bit more squared off. They're a bit more.
Yeah.
And it's a really rubbery disc.
Not my Baron.
Not Baron. That's Rich's one, isn't
it? Yeah, my Baron's rock solid.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
But then we also have the Berg as well.
I like the idea of a rubbery Baron, to be fair. I've said this before.
Sunday's going to be fun when we go to Quarry Park.
Oh, no. I know.
I know what I'm going in the store for.
Potentially expensive.
I don't know. I know exactly what I'm going in for. I'm going in for a Roadrunner because I need that disc as a utility disc. If a Raptor is there. That's fantastic because
I've seen you walk into that shop and go, I know exactly what I'm going in for. Come out with a bag.
No, I'm literally. I am buying a Roadrunner, and if they've got a Raptor, I'm buying a Raptor.
If the weather is like it's been so far, then we're up.
Let's not kid anybody. If you walked in there and it was like an Optimus Prime disc golf bag,
yeah, I'd probably buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Wouldn't even question how much it costs. You'd just slam it on the till.
Yeah.
If they had a Goldberg with Goldberg on it, I'd buy it.
No. Exactly. If they had a Sting with Sting on it.
But that's the thing. It's if they've, because I've lost a few discs. I'm not joking. If they did have a mentor, I'd probably pick one up with them because I was throwing that really well until it vanished into a bush. Like, it just disappeared. The magician living up to his name over here.
I really want that to be a disc called The Worm.
Yes.
That's interesting.
That is.
That was interesting.
Turn it up!
Oh, I love that. What a transition.
Yeah. So beginner tip. Yes. Let's move on to the beginner tip of the week. So be each of us cheerleaders.
Yeah.
There's a reason I'm bringing this up, Luke.
Yes.
So
I'm intrigued.
Not last Sunday, Sunday before. So between the podcasts, you went out and had a lovely game with Richard.
I did.
And it was wet.
It was educationally wet. It was good. No, honestly, it was good because it was typical Midlands weather where it would piss it down and then it would stay a little bit. It would stop from going like rain to like mist to then rain again.
Richard got to experience what we were playing in for the first 6 months.
100%.
But he was saying that so Richard got his worst score yet.
Yeah.
Potentially, I've not gone back, but potentially the worst score ever had a lot of us.
No, I've had worse when I was early on.
Oh, right.
But we all will, because we're learning.
I had worse. No, but I can't. No way, I had worse early on.
But even like for now, if you walked away with a plus 30 something,
We would, because where we were then and where we are now, we are peed if we have those kind of scores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he was telling me how he got to like hole six and it started to get worse, and then hole seven made it a little bit worse, and then. But he goes, you know what Lee was like? He was in my ear saying, don't worry, mate, you can turn it all around. And
100%.
And he goes, I just wanted to turn around to him and go, are you kidding? There's no way I'm turning this around. But no, we was praising you because you're probably the most optimistic, positive one out of us. And we all cheer each other on. And it's really good that we do because, you know, some of them people will be having bounce.
Oh, we'll do, yeah. We will.
You know, like I see Nev. And
I regularly just walk off screaming at myself.
I see Ben and he's like ready to kick something down. And I can see that look in his eye, and I just remind him of some of the good shots he's had today. And
100%.
Forget about that stupid putt that you just missed. It was only 5 foot, but you made them normally. He was just rushing. 100%. It's just about being each other's cheerleader and actually
I'm always like, well. Shot goes in.
Yeah, I do like the fact though. Like we like kids at a firework display. When somebody throws a really good one, we're all like,
"Whoa!" Like you just because there was a few drains you did because we could say last Sunday I think you had a frustrating round, but then there were some highlights in there where we were just like, "Holy!" And even you were saying like, "That needs to come out of the bag more." Like it needs to come out of the bag more.
I hit some big putts and I hit some big rolls.
Yeah,
and that was my Sunday.
100%.
It wasn't a great round, but some of the things I did were cool.
Great Sunday, but it was my Sunday.
Exactly. And honestly, I think that's the thing. I think when it comes to any sport, you're always like, you can either think of it in a positive way or a negative way. And I feel like sometimes, especially because we haven't really talked about it, but like the negativity you can have when your mind's setting in. So like Bedworth, hole 8, we've now discussed this. Like when we go for a round, that hole for us as amateurs makes or breaks our round. Because if you go through the OB, so how it is, guys, is you have to drive it and you have to get it through the OB. If you go past that OB and you go miles wide, you just have to tee again and you have to like just reset, think.
You're probably looking at 40, 50 meters before you hit that mando.
100%. And so you're like, right, I've got to do this. I've got to make sure. And sometimes that can make a break around. And as soon as if you get it through first time, you're fine. If you don't, you're kind of like, this is going to be a big number. But at the end of the day, you just go like, right, what do I need to improve on that? And you just got to have that mentality to just go leave it. So like for me personally, last Sunday, I can definitely say I left 4 putts where I was like, I left them short. I should have buried that. That's annoying. But at the same time, I know where I went wrong. Because I do the thing of if I miss it, I'm just going to walk back and obviously finish the hole, but then go back, take it, and then just make the adjustment and go like, that's what I needed to do. So now I know what I did wrong. And just analysing those little things.
But that hole is like double shit in a minute, because even if you make the mando, the moment the disc goes through the mando, your brain then goes, don't land in the wasp
nest. Do not land near the wasp nest, because those wasps, have they stung all of us now? Because they've stung me.
They've not stung me. No.
They've stung half of our crew. Like, yeah, we throw it in and run in.
You definitely try and get it. I haven't seen you throw it to that side of the trees in forever.
Yeah.
You're aiming for that other side.
yeah, we just pray for cold weather because we know they're not going to come out. But if it's lovely, you can already tell when you get close to the basket, you're just like, yeah, there are loads out. Okay, I'm not going to miss from like 2 foot. I'm just going to go and run, grab my disc and pray to God I don't die because wasps are bastards. You know, idiots wasps are. But no, yeah. No, be your biggest cheerleader because honestly, I think that also makes... I think because I can also say, I think all of us do practice and we do our own things as well. But we all generally get on and we want to have fun. Like we say, we're not competitive or anything like that, but we all want us to succeed in this fun. Yeah, we will for some stuff. Like I would laugh and go like, that was shit. Or like, literally laugh and go like, right, I'm well annoyed with that.
I think on Sunday there was like, I think both of you two were gone. Either you two were gone or you and one of you two and Richard had gone. Two of you had gone. And I could literally turn around and went, I would have to throw it behind me to have a worse drive right
now. Yeah, yeah, it was you and me. It was you and me, because I literally, yeah, I missed the man who's so bad. That was the hole where we all threw
shit. And we all threw, and we all took this out of the person before we shot, and we all threw.
Yeah, we all just laughed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even Richard.
Because we all laughed and went like, it was not a great hole. Yeah.
No, I had a great hole 7.
It was hole 5.
Hole 7 to 8.
No, I thought it was 5. Because we all threw... You threw wide. I threw into the ground.
There was definitely hole 7 I'm thinking of. But I didn't
okay.
Hole 7 because I'm landing right left of the bunker. There was a hole where we all threw.
Yeah. There's plenty of holes. Oh, 100%. But we all just laugh at it and go like, well, we can improve on that.
That actually leads a nice segue into our next topic.
Yes.
How do you like your courses?
I like them.
So, obviously, we mentioned earlier we're going to talk about course layout. So,
I'm just going to say it now. This is going to be another one of those episodes where I just bash Gillies for 45 minutes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you own Gillies or listen to our podcast, we actually really love your course.
I do actually like it.
We really like Gillies. It just frustrates us as amateurs.
But obviously courses like Gillies are going to get mentioned because they're
very technical.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Very typical of what we will be talking about. But
100%.
Not so much what courses you like what courses we've been to, we've been there, we've done that, but more you come across courses that are very tight, wooded, long holes like Gillies. You then come across the wooded, a bit more open, shorter holes, technical courses like Sherwood, where they wanted to bend it round little trees and things like that.
Yes.
You then come to courses that include trees and open spaces, like the one in Oxford with the donkers.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And then you got courses like Bedworth, where it's fairly open.
But
there are quite some big holes in there.
Yeah.
And then of course you've got your final type of course, your
fields.
Yeah, you're basically open. A basket in a field.
Yeah, where it's really open. And then you want to go there on really windy days just to make it more challenging.
And then you got Quarry Park, which is
the best.
The best and has everything.
And which is a mix of them all.
And we're not even sponsored by them, but please go play in Quarry Park. It's a great course. It's lovely.
Oh, yeah, best course.
Best course.
According to our rating system and our personal opinion.
100%.
So what kind of course, if you could build any course you wanted?
Quarry Park or Cotswolds, I probably would say.
So you would go for a mixture?
I would go for a mixture just because I think having a mixed amount of holes, especially if you're starting out like us and you're amateurs, you want that diversity to improve your game and test your game. Because I feel if you build a course which is quite open, sure, it's going to be fun and you can understand, oh, I'm going to learn discs and how far they can go and those kind of shots. But when you've got, like, say, your Quarry Parks and, your Gillies, for example, where you do have those courses where it's like, this is dead straight, but then it's going to go dog left. So if I throw it at this angle, I can go around this corner or go, like, through this, like, narrow gap. You want to try those shots because you want to know you can learn those shots and get that into your, like, repertoire.
My thought process on it all was, if you struggle playing courses like Gillies or the wooded holes,
yeah,
a mixed course or whatever, courses that are all wooded holes, you're going to have a bad time. At least if you've got a mixed course, it gives the people that aren't great in the woods an opportunity to catch up on the people that are all right in the woods.
Yeah, 100%.
Makes it a more interesting game.
Yeah.
We all know you like to play good old, bad old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Guinness is 18 bad holes.
It's just very challenging. It's a it's very not technical
the holes
course.
Are bad, it's me.
Yeah. Fair.
It's playing cricket.
It is.
Playing cricket. That's a great quote. That is a direct quote.
Oh, love
that.
Guinness
isn't disc golf, it's cricket.
Yeah.
I think I quite like Sherwood. If Sherwood was closer.
Oh, yeah, Sherwood's different.
If Sherwood,
Sherwood
was
is
closer,
very different.
That would be my main course.
The main reason Sherwood is better than. Is different, not better than Guinness. Sorry, I just turned the lights on in this place. I should have said flashback, shouldn't I? Sorry, no.
There we go. There we go. But I've readjusted you into the microphone by accident by blinding you.
Nah,
there you go. You're good.
If you miss, there's still a line.
Yeah, because the trees are a bit more spread out.
Yeah. Fair.
And I think that's why I like Sherwood, because like you say, it's not...
You
it's,
can, you,
it's still tight.
Even if you miss, you can go, oh, I can do that. But Gillies, it's, this is the line.
Yeah.
Throw the line. Or... Get in the woods.
Or get in the woods. Yeah. Go join the beavers.
Yeah.
And get over here, the scorpion. More combat.
I throw straight 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, as well, when you play at Gillies then, that might be a mindset where you're like, do not spam this into the tree, and then you go up to it, and then it goes, I've just... said I wasn't going to do that, and then I do that. Because I do that sometimes at Bedworth as well. I'm like, I can't aim over there, and then I throw it, and I'm like, I aimed right over there.
I like
just don't throw. Late release, and you do the latest release you've ever done.
Like, yep, and you end up in someone's back garden.
At most courses, I can throw my go-to discs.
Okay.
And they do a little thing, and if they hit the ground, they roll back round, and I'm still in a good spot. Because that's my shot.
Okay.
At Gillies, you cannot do that.
No.
No.
You have to.
Because it hits the ground and it's in a tree. And that's that. It's in a bush and it's not moving. And there's no room for extra movement.
No, there isn't, no.
Yeah, you have to nail the line that they've said.
Yeah.
Apart, which is great.
Apart from them two holes where you can go left or right.
Yeah. But when that's the only time I throw straight at Gillies.
Is
when I've got
go left or right.
Going left or right,
I'm going straight.
Straight down the middle.
I'm going straight and I'm fine with this.
I say that, there are some holes at Guinness that really suit
your style of play. Yeah, 100%.
And that's the ones that I've birdied at tournaments. And that hole that I'm thinking of specifically, I birdie most of the time.
I also think, because obviously we're going to hopefully enter the tournament September, is it? Guinness.
Yeah. We're going back for more punishment, boys.
When's that?
But I genuinely think if we can get around in prior to that,
okay.
I think we play Gillies wrong.
Okay.
I think that when we're playing Bedworth,
mm-hmm.
we're used to playing more open courses.
Yeah.
We're used to ripping them off as hard as we can. When we see a line, we go to make it all the way down to that basket. We need to rip this off.
Yeah.
Approach go that way.
Yeah. Okay.
And approach with this. But instead, if we're actually throwing our more straighter discs, even though they're not covering the
amount.
80 meters that we'd cover, we'd still cover 60 meters.
And we're still setting ourselves up.
Last time I went to Guinness, I had a better round. Well, earlier on, I was better because I was like, if I just stay on the fairway, then I'm good.
Yeah.
And that. You got better at that later on, because if I remember, your start of Guinness was dog.
No, I think the last time I went to Guinness, I just had an awful day.
Maybe.
That was the day I threw into the bushes.
Was that the day of the stories on episode 10?
I know my second half was bad.
Right.
But my first half was good, because I was using the archer a lot, and I was going, let's just land in that bit there, and then take a second shot, rather than being like, let's just smash it, see where it goes.
Yeah. So fair.
That's my Gillies attack plan. He says, full well, he's probably going to just throw the leopard all day.
Yeah, but if you throw the leopard consistently well and also do the good stuff.
For that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what we do. I think we see a distance. We're picking the wrong disc for it. And I think next time we go Gillies, we need to.
And that's why we talked about it a little bit on like Sunday's round, where I was like, I threw that and I overthrew it, so I knew that is not the range I've got to be throwing that disc. I've got to be throwing this one. I've got to do that, and then it makes way heck more sense that I need to do that.
But going back to subjects, I would have a mixed course. But
okay.
The mix I would have is a Sherwood Point Pine style forest. I would never want to get as deep and as narrow as Gillies.
Okay.
And then a nice open, but with some technical shots. It's like some like dog legs, maybe a little water obstacle.
Cool.
Like the whatever the course was called, the massive one that took us all day to get around.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great course. You put a bit more woody in there.
Yeah, that would have been a really good
course. Could have been the one.
100%. Yeah. And also, and just
some shorter walks between basket and tee pad.
that's the whole way you wish you just like, I wish I had a Segway or like a golf caddy, just to be like, not a golf caddy, like a buggy, just so you all sit in and be like, have fun.
3 days that way.
Yep.
To be fair, I don't think it was that bad. I think the heat made it.
I think the heat did kill us. I'm not going to lie there. The heat definitely played a huge thing into that. But no, I think we all are on the same kind of premise of having a mixed bag, of course. I think that's pretty much what we want. I like it. Yeah. Good unison talk, guys.
So, disc of the week. You chose one yet?
That's a good question.
I've always chose one, yeah. I did, but I forgot.
Do you want me to go? Because I can. Right, cool.
No, I did choose one.
So I don't really have a disc of the week because I've gone back into our repertoire of what we've done, and there is one, but I took it out of my bag because I have the MD3, which has replaced my mid-range discs, and that was the Mako 3. I think the Mako 3 is a very good disc, but I think I even covered the Mako 3. I'm not even so sure. So yeah, I don't have a disc of the week. All I would say is, yeah, I need to buy more discs, but hopefully on Sunday I will buy a utility disc, which hopefully will be the Innova Roadrunner. So the guy sitting opposite me who's on the Innova bandwagon might be happy with that, but I know that's a good rolling disc, and also how it finishes, how I throw, it will be a good disc to add to my repertoire, which I'm very grateful for.
So if you're not going to have a disc of the week, I want to ask you about the premium disc you brought that you didn't like.
Oh, the Maestro.
So why did you buy a premium Maestro?
Because I was throwing the normal Maestro really good. It's a great mid-range.
I think the Sensei and the Maestro in premium, they're different shapes.
100%. And they fly different because when we did the plastics and I did my hilarious research, the premium plastics seem to be more... Is it overstable if it goes right?
I'm not sure.
So it tends to lean more one way than the actual normal plastic. Yes. So when I threw it, I was like, why the hell is it doing that all the time?
The plastic sits in the mold.
I'm telling you, if I get my two senseis out on Sunday,
they're not the same. Because when I looked at it, because when I did the research, the first thing I said was like, so that's why I can't throw the Maestro. Because it does, my premium Maestro, that is, because it's doing what it's supposed to be doing, and it's like you're throwing it exactly how you should throw it, but because of the plastic and how it is, it even says on the bloody website that it will do this more, and I'm like, oh, so that's ideal if I want those kind of shots, but the problem is it's just a nice disc now for beginners
to be a decent disc if it's thrown more.
Yeah. Probably. I need to just sit in front of a tree and throw it and beat it into submission.
Bam, bam, bam. Just throw it.
Just look like a madman throwing a disc.
Just play it on Sunday.
No, I'll probably play it. I'm probably going to play it on Sunday on a certain hole anyway, so if I lose, I don't mind it.
Oh, straight over the river.
Straight in the river. Sequel, number two. Let's see if I lose another disc. Groovy. But no,
it's probably never going to be disc of the week, so we might as well ask you about it.
Yeah. No, but it's true. It's because everyone knows I'm on a Discmania bandwagon. I do love it. I love that starter set, and the Maestro is a very good one. I've already covered it, I think. So I think it's funny because it's like we're gonna get to a point where we're running out of discs, and I've hit that. I know you guys buy discs left, right, and center. I'm kind of stopping because I'm losing discs and I need to repurchase discs. But then because of losing those discs, I'm relearning others. So for example, when I lost my PD. Poor Jolly Rancher, I've started to use the River more, and I need to learn how to throw that disc, and I can, but the thing is, which we talked a little bit on Sunday about, was it's a different throwing technique to everything else I throw,
because it's kind of more like you were saying, Dan, with tip of the whip and stuff like that. It's way more wrist reliant than my other discs, and it's just different. It's just a different beast.
Which I can jump on and do a nice segue into my disc of the week.
Sure, do.
So, like I said to you, when you come through the river, I told you that I throw the river different to most of my other discs.
Yeah.
There are the Saint, the River, the Diamond, before I lost it, and my disc of the week.
Okay.
I throw with this style. So everything else I throw with a decent grip, and, you know, it's all in the body, and I think about my movement and everything.
Mm-hmm.
With the disc I just listed off, and my disc of the week, which is the Construct by Forward Space.
Yes.
Is my, I'm loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
I'm a lot loose. I'm not as rigid in my throw. And it's all about getting that tip of the whip, getting that speed up, and nailing that tip.
Yeah, that works.
And it just glides. And let the glide do the work.
Yeah, it flies that thing.
Someone with very high glide discs. I'm genuinely surprised that isn't your go-to move with all of them.
So the discs I listed off are the glide discs.
You've got loads of glide discs, though.
Yeah, this is Glidey McGlide Boy over here, though.
Not really.
He's the glide guy.
The River, the Saint, the Construct.
Yeah.
Your Sting. No, your Sting's not. Sting's not that glide.
Anything over Glide 4 is high, though.
Maybe.
I'd say 6-7 is high. 4-5 is about average.
Yeah. Most of your mid-ranges are 4-5, aren't they?
I mean, you get some putters that are glide 4.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree to disagree.
But yeah, so the Construct is absolutely brilliant. It's a 10-6 minus 1-2, I believe. I'm just going to double check that.
I do like it.
Yeah, 10-6 minus 1-2. Banging artwork. So play.
It's Thought Space, dude. Yeah. Thought Space have come out of nowhere and, like,
question.
They're sick artwork.
This, and I'm going to see if you know. What plastic. What company's plastic do Thought Space use?
No idea.
MVP.
Really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
That's interesting because of the whole internet saying MVP plastic is either good or bad. That's really interesting.
Well, I
told
really
you this recently.
I told you this.
Well, I really like it. I like the feel. I like the plastic. It flies like the river, but with a bit more oomph.
Okay.
Absolutely fantastic disc. I brought it because of the artwork. So I needed I needed a Speed 10 disc.
But also artwork.
Yeah.
We're suckers for
artwork.
And
then looking at all the Speed 10 discs, and that's one that popped out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't look at any reviews.
I started off borrowing my Avenger for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, to make sure that Speed 10 was where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
But I was throwing Speed 9 nice. As I said, 11 was hurting my shoulder.
And you sort of went into the Avenger for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so logic went, throw a Speed 10. You've had the Avenger. And I was like, okay, let's throw the Avenger. New Speed 10 was right for me. Was actually going to buy an Avenger. But
yeah, you were.
But
was that a normal Avenger or Avenger SS?
I was going to buy the SS.
Or the SS.
I've got an SS.
You've got the SS.
Yeah, you got the SS.
So I was going to the SS as well. And when I was putting all the Speed 10 discs, that popped at me for the artwork. And I said, no reviews, no lines, no nothing. I just went, do you know what? I'm going to give it a go.
Fair.
And
it's the best way.
Best thing I did. And I've seen more Thought Space discs in my future.
Yeah, Thought Space are really good. Like the Pathfinder, I'm telling you now, boys, that's a disc. That's up there with like the buzz on the internet as well. They've saying Pathfinder is really cool. And again, suckers for artwork, really good. The Buddha as well. Their putter Buddha.
That Buddha thing.
It looks sick.
If Bobby Park, Leanne might divorce me because she might just go. Like, I can't live with a man that spends that much money on plastic.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Go on then, Ben. What is
yours now then, sir?
I'm gonna say the Genius.
Ooh, okay.
So me and the Genius have got an interesting
on-off relationship, ain't it?
Yeah, you met the Genius quite early on, didn't you?
Yeah, and then it got mangled, basically.
Yeah.
And I just never throw it. But when I do throw it, it's quite good.
Yeah.
It's in that I always forget it's in that Speed 7 range.
Yeah.
It's quite a straight finisher.
I always thought it was slower. I thought it was like 5.
Nah, it's up there with a few of the other Discmanias big boys.
Numbers wise, if I'm correct, it's like a Speed 7 Archer.
Okay.
Mm.
It's quite that. It's not that hard plastic like the Baron is, isn't it? Like you feel like you can throw it against a rock and the rock will cry.
Yes, it's normal plastic, isn't it, for the Genius?
I'm going to throw it this weekend.
Nice.
And if I lose it, that's that.
Yeah.
But if I get on with it, I might get
Fair.
A newer one that isn't tuned.
Yeah, because it is good. And the artwork, again, is sick.
Would you stick to basic?
No, I'd get a premium one.
Mm.
So then remember, they all seem to turn one different way to what you do.
Yeah, but...
That's the God honest truth on the internet, and what Discmania have also said as well at the same time.
The basic plastic... Say that, I won't buy something that's probably not on another disc, so...
Fair. But then again, it's like, I'm not going to complain because it's a Discmania disc, and I've liked the Genius when I've thrown it, and I've kind of like, it seemed to me it was more of a beefier Magician, but then obviously I have the FD now, so that's my 7 speed.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with the FD.
Oh, I've got all 7 speeds.
The River's 7 as well.
And that, yeah, so 7 is a very... I feel like between, I think, 5 and 7 is highly congested with really good discs.
So the Sting's a 7 and the River's a 7. Mm. The Sting is the 7 that I throw for approach.
Yeah.
I never throw the River approach.
No, you normally use it for a drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. I really think, because it is, it seems really highly congested between 5 and 8. I'm going to throw 8 now there, because I think 5 and 8, there's a lot of good discs, and that's like, that's where people's bags can differ.
I'm breaking out the Ace for this weekend.
Yeah. You're going for it, hey?
It's an Archer Range. That short course.
We are filming, so if it comes on, yeah, boy.
That short course is Archer Range. I've got to break it out.
That, are we going to... So, my question is, when it comes to digression, again, when it comes to filming, are we going to do the small course for 2 videos? Are we going to do the normal, how we would play it, so we have like a pro thing, and then we're going to do the best thing ever of foreplay? Or do you want to do the main course for the main thing and then foreplay on the smaller hole?
I'd film both on the small course.
Okay.
Say,
fair.
The extra games on the small course.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd say foreplay on the small course, but actually on the main thing, and we're doing them
on the big one?
On the big one.
Okay.
Okay, match play.
Yeah, could do.
Because then we have the hilarious. Yeah. We're going to be there all day, though.
I'm off all day. Short course, full bag.
I want to do a free round. I want to do short course, free round. But anyway, we digress.
Digression,
which is also available.
All available soon. I don't know how beast, because there's a lot of editing in that, boys. I'm just going to let you know now, because I said I'm putting it on YouTube, and because of the topics we're talking about, the extended video research I've had to do to find it's beastie, but it's awesome.
This is our other podcast where we're talking about
digression, recession.
Where I tell everyone how illegal Shadow was.
Yeah, so the first episode is Gladiators. Look for that in the not too distant future. Obviously, if it's out, you can go download it if you're listening to this in the not too distant future or whatever. So yeah,
and our next episode is 90s kids TV, which I cannot wait for.
Absolutely
you
insane.
Don't know how much fun else I've been watching.
I've watched some insane shows where I've like, I used to watch this as a kid. What was I doing?
But anyway, digression. So
yes. Fun. Stupid run.
So, question.
Okay.
What would you say the most beneficial thing you have done that's improved your game?
Oh, no.
Okay, you take it then, Ben. You go first.
Taken discs out of my bag.
Okay.
Yeah?
Smaller bag.
So, I know, because we spoke about it a lot on the phone, and Lee knows because you spoke about it when playing disc golf, but the audience don't know the reasoning why and how you invented like yourself a little game, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... basically, this all started because what I did was I'd put all my discs on the floor and then I'd just randomly pick up 5 and I'd play with those 5.
You got the missus to pick your 5 one week.
Yeah,
that was a fun week.
It's like a mini game.
That was a rough round.
A mini game within a mini game.
But then the next week, those 5 would be out.
So you could just basically concentrate on something else.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I learned some and I took some discs out of my bag.
Yeah.
I'm slowly bringing them back in, but...
But...
Also, when you did that, you put some discs back in your bag that you weren't playing with.
I set my best round. My best score currently was set with 5 discs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played that, and I just was just like, wallop, just smashing it.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Just had a really good round. Less options is definitely a good tip.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're going to buy loads of discs, because you will.
You will.
But learn them.
Yeah.
Learn them in small groups.
Fair point. I don't like that. I think for me, it's kind of just like... the best way of describing it is just slowing stuff down and not advancing too fast has improved my game. Like recently, I went through a phase of having really shit drives. And what I was doing was I was trying to do too much where I'm just like, I'm just going to launch this. And then I've like gone back to the basics of slowing stuff down, going back to what I should know, trying to get more practice in during the week and just kind of getting into the repetition of like, I know how far this goes.
See,
kind of like what you say, learning your discs.
You've slowed your technique down.
Yes.
And I've slowed my discs down.
Yes. Because I feel like when you're watching, again, the dreaded gap of YouTube and other stuff like that, you can Frankenstein and put your throw together. But then when you're trying to do it, which is true with golf, disc golf, like if you break it down, there's about 8 to 10 things you do, supposedly, when you do it. I think when sometimes you're, if you're not practicing certain bits enough to get like little bits right, and you just go, yeah, I think I've got that, so I'm just going to go on to the next phase. Oh, I think I've got that, and I'm going to add
honestly,
that. And then it just goes completely wrong from there.
I thought my drives were crap. I slowed my disc down.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe think about it.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like,
just try
I'm
some slower speed discs for a bit.
100% true. Like, I'm now scared to throw the Rockstar at Quarry Park because I don't want to lose it, because that's come up clutch very good. It's an 8 and it's very comfortable. And I was throwing the PD really well. I have got a 7. The FD. Do like the FD.
7-8.
And then the CACs. I like it. Because don't get me wrong, I do enjoy throwing my DD3s and I do enjoy my Destroyers. But I do feel like sometimes it's like, if I just slow it down, and if I'm like, just play what you know and you can throw consistently, yeah, and then you slowly increase your speed, if you will, and know when to cap off.
I've got a Hades, I've threw it 4 times.
Yeah.
And I'm probably never going to throw it.
Yeah. I think that's honestly it.
It's a cool disc.
It's a cool disc.
It's cool.
Maybe into it again, like a utility disc. So that's why I've got 2 Destroyers. I have one which I bought because it looked like Optimus Prime. That's now my utility disc. And I bought another one because I was like, that's a mech. And I'm a sucker for mechs, so I'm in. And so that's now my normal one. It's a bit more gummier than the other one. So,
but yeah, so what you're just saying, so when I was thinking about what was the most beneficial thing that I've introduced to my game,
yeah,
that was my first, that's the first thing my mind jumped to. Mm. Then I broke it down just a little bit more. And one of the things that I was doing was worrying about my run-up.
Okay.
There was obviously this period where I tried to introduce the cross step and
fell over.
Yeah, just I fell over and
just didn't work for you.
Just didn't
spoon
work. Yeah, mm. It's not for me. Then there was a point when I was trying to like run and get as much twist as I could, like a reverse free kick, if you like.
Okay.
And just like trying other stuff to try and get that hip rotation.
Yeah.
And then I went. We went when we played in one of the tournaments. Wasn't the Bristol one? It was the one before. And
the Quarry.
The first tournament was Gillies.
Oh, it was Gillies, yeah.
Oh no, Gilly. No, one after the Bristol tournament. Sorry, the one at the Cotswolds. So one of the lads I played with there.
Oh yeah, you played
okay.
that as well.
Yeah, you played yeah. that. Yeah.
One of the lads I played with there kind of like ran up the tee, mm-hmm. and the only way I can describe it is like he was ice skating.
Okay.
He's taking massive strides to
okay.
the left, to
yeah.
the right, throwing his body out. And on that last one, he was in that like, great position to throw it out.
Like a hockey player.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, you generate power like,
So when I saw that, my brain didn't go, let's give that a try. My brain went, do you know what? If he's not learning a cross step and he's learned something that's good for him.
100%.
Then me running diagonally across the tee pad and taking him 2 big, massive... In my head, I call them the BFG strides.
Yeah.
They probably don't look like it because I'm only 5'8". And
yeah, I know exactly what we mean, though.
I'm
yeah,
like,
100%.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'm taking 2 massive BFG strides and then launching it off. And
yeah.
That's what I'm comfortable doing. And ever since I started doing that and stopped worrying about my run-up, and not actually, I call it a run-up, I don't do a run-up anymore. I'm
okay.
2 big, quick strides.
Just do the cha-cha slide.
Do the cha-cha. It's a little not a hop step, but it's kind of like a shuffle almost. I've really noticed you do it like what's his face does it? My favourite pro, Kevin. What's his name? Got the MVP player, Kevin. Ah, it's gonna annoy me now, I forget his name. He does what you do. And I was like, I like that. And I tried it and I was like, yeah, it throws me off because I'm so used to having a cross step. And generating, because basically I went from like looking at mine going like the cross step, but I'm also in that position where I'm like, this is how I would do a golf swing and generate power through my hips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think in the moment I kind of went, this is how I'm comfortable playing.
Yeah. I think it's just the little things, because I think it over time as well, you will always adapt your game and change things. And it's exactly like in any sport, whether it become football with football boots, whether it become golf with golf clubs, you know, anything like that, you're always going to change and adapt.
Though, we pointed out the other day that Bedworth is actually a hard course to play.
It is.
And there's no hole on there now that I've not parred.
Mm-hmm.
There was a long time when one and two were just unparable.
Yeah.
If you walked away with four, you'd be happy.
Hmm.
Now I think we can par. Yeah.
At some point, I've parred every hole.
We've all parred every hole, I think.
On an average Sunday, we
par a few.
We don't.
Bogey a few.
And then the next Sunday, we par a different few.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
So if I know I'm capable of parring all of them holes, my brain kind of tells me, why change anything in your game now? This is how you're comfortable playing.
100%.
You've now just got to get consistent.
That's it, and I think that's it with any sport. You have to have that consistency. I think that's when you then go, I need to make time for practicing. I need to make time for these little things so I can improve. Because obviously, it's like if you don't practice and you just go and throw it every Sunday or whatever, you're probably not to be too brutal. You might have the same kind of score. You might do worse. It's that getting that repetition in and knowing your arm throw, your because as soon as you get that down, it's solid. Because let's be honest, how you practice free kicks in football, if you get that repetition, you're always going to do that. You're always going to do that. When it comes to golf, when it comes to anything like sports related, if you get into a rhythm and a technique that works for you, it just becomes solid.
I've had a bit of a dip in that.
But honestly, that's all it is. And I think, obviously, with us, we're obviously blessed with all sorts of weather in the Midlands, but obviously, you know, life finds a way to just distort our kind of like free time, because your free time, you either want to spend playing video games, spending it with the missus, or just relaxing, or doing stuff, hanging out with friends, etc. It's just sometimes you just have to go, I'm going to go out for like an hour and I'm going to take these couple of discs out. I'm going to go to a park and I'm going to go, right, that's where the basket is. I'm going to try and get it as close to that. Or take your basket out.
Disc in a random field.
Yeah.
Count in a cow field.
Or lose a count in a cow field. Yeah.
If we were coaching people, I think all three of us would have different priorities.
100%.
Wrong, just throw a roller.
I think you'd roll be. What's the guy's name from Happy Gilmore, the coach?
Chubbs.
Chubbs. I think you'd be Chubbs, just like standing there.
All in the hips.
Hey, it's all in. Come on. Work with me now. It's all in the hips. Yeah, it's all in the hips. It's all in the hips.
Get off of me.
He just easing the tension, baby.
It's all true.
In the hips. And I mean, I have people that are running around towel whipping people. Yeah.
That's the wrist action you've got to have. You've got to generate power because the forward momentum and this, and it's science. Everything is a science.
Until you can whip that apple off your mate's head. Yeah. Not going home.
And not make him blind or like leave scars on his forehead. Yeah.
Rollers.
Yeah. Well, I think that's honestly it. That's literally everything. There's certain things we all want to learn. Like I said, I would love to take a few pro like classes of how to understand how to throw a forehand. I would love to understand that.
And Richard had been the man. Richard knows what he's doing with a forehand.
And it's so different to what I'm used to, because his approach and run-up, I'm like, okay, I'll try that. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's mad. I don't know how. I don't know how he does it. It's amazing, honestly.
Sunday highlight as roller coach for me, definitely. Ben, which angle do I need to throw this to make it do that?
This way.
Do you know what
else? And it worked.
It did work.
I'm about to digress, but I'm not going to. I digress outside of the cast.
Joining the roller crew.
I love that. Everyone's becoming a roller crew. Right.
What? Yeah, so I've got a note before we go this week.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't think of one. I've just literally just looked at my notes and it says before we go.
Before we go.
Throw some discs.
I think we've kind of like covered most of the basics of like what amateurs go through. I honestly do think it is try and get some practice in. I think practice... To quote Allen Iverson, we're talking about practice. I think that's, you got to get that repetition in, and you've just got to understand. Because I think, obviously, you're throwing. I think the one thing I always laugh when it comes to discs as well, when I throw something, I then slow it down, and then I throw, the next throw is really good. I'm just like, oh, that worked really well. Because funny enough, discs want to fly. Like, just, they are designed to go.
Because you just said that we spoke about everything, like, covered all amateur disc golf.
I think...
We haven't, Lee, because otherwise we'd be out of a podcast. This
that's
be,
true, actually.
This would be the
farewell. Oh, no, I think about the things...
We've got about 50 more episodes
we've got
of stuff to cover.
We've got so much to cover.
A lot of little parts of it.
Little parts. And starting as... All right, so little parts, I think, as an amateur.
We've dipped our toe in quite a few little things.
It's true. But I think when it's looking at, like, if you're going back to basics, I think we've covered a few big ones. I think, personally, if you're learning or starting off.
Oh,
I think.
Definitely.
100%.
Just go and play different courses.
Yeah.
And learn what you like.
Exactly.
And learn what makes you rage.
Become one like Gillies. Just become one. Yeah, I think that's honestly it, mate.
Yeah.
That was nice. It was a very, very solid podcast. We digress a little bit, which we always do, which we love, so.
At least we stick with disc golf.
It's true.
It could be much worse.
It could be much
worse.
And I
got too hot in there.
You did. You did. We have. Yeah, you've been throwing that banger pretty solid this last Sunday. It's pretty solid. So yeah, guys, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please leave a like. A like is much appreciated. If you want, also feel to subscribe to our Discheads podcast. We've got, like, we've digressed a little bit on this. We've got more content coming. We're going to be filming a few things, hopefully, this weekend, weather permitting.
And send us comments. We get, like, 100 views on some of these.
Yeah.
And we get no comments.
Please leave comments.
Either we're really amazing or we're so shit, people can't even be bothered to tell us.
Oh, they just go, like, I love listening to these random guys talk shit on the internet. Just living la vida loca, having fun, talking about plastics and throwing discs at trees.
Scotty too hot.
And Scotty too hot, you facts. But no, yeah, thank you if you're listening to Podbean. Thanks for subscribing, all that jazz. We'll be back in not too distant future with episode 13, unlucky for some. But this has been Park Life, and we talked a little bit about parks, which is pretty solid. All right, take it easy, guys, and we'll see you in not too distant future for episode 13.